Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
Today, I want you to grab your Bible, turn me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12, verse 22. We are headed towards a pretty special day in the life of our church that is going to be December 3rd, where we are going to be receiving our Miracle in Motion offering. Now, this is something for people who are part of this church and that love this church. If you're a guest today, please just tune me out for the next 30 seconds. But if you love VU Church, you call it home, this is a moment that we all get to come, and we're going to give above and beyond our regular giving. And I actually believe it's a very spiritual day, that as we put our faith into action, this offering that we do one time a year is going to help accelerate the vision. This past Thursday night, man, we were at iTech Auditorium for VU Girl, 1,500 plus women. And we're praying right now that God's going to make a way at iTech, that come 2018, that we're going to be at iTech and here in Wynwood. And we want to be ready. The moment they say yes, we want to be able to have all the funds ready to get the sound systems, to get the lighting, to get the screens, to get the kids' stuff. And so this offering is really going to be designated for vision. It's not trying to keep making the bills around here. This is so that we can start strong and we can finish 2017 strong. Come on, anybody got some faith for December 3rd? And so there's two offering envelopes there on your chair, and this one, this Miracle Motion offering envelope. We want you to take this home with you and be praying about it. Grab your husband, grab your wife, grab your family. What can you do to see this vision move forward? I know my wife and I, we are planning to really give the biggest offering that we've ever given in the history of our lives. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to help lead, to say we're all in this thing together. It's not about equal amounts. It's about equal sacrifice. And so our theme, the word we got from God, was that we're a miracle in motion. And so last week I was talking about this, and I preached this message entitled, What If? If you missed it, go back to the YouTube, catch it, because I think it will encourage you. And it's about being a trustworthy person. But today I feel like the Lord has led me to Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And I've got a lot of sermon up here. I'm going to try to get to it in this first service. But Luke chapter 12, verse 22. These are Jesus' words, and so then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? I want to preach today on this thought, consider the raven. Consider the raven. And I believe God is going to speak to us. Would you pray with me today as we come around God's word? Lord, we thank you so much that you've brought us to your house. We thank you so much, Lord, that you're moving and that you're active. We thank you for an incredible week, Lord, from VU Girl to I Love My City. And now today, Lord, as we start the first service of six, I pray, God, that you would speak to your people, Lord. I pray that we would realize that we are here for such a time as this, that, God, we are your plan A. There is no plan B. So, God, encourage us today. Awaken us today. Let us be the men and women you've called us to be. We honor you, we praise you, and if you believe it, come on, all of God's people said? Amen. All of God's people said? Amen. Come on and give Jesus a big shout of praise if you know it's true today. How many of you out there, just by a show of hands, you like surprises? Where's all the people that love surprises? My wife has got her hand up, she loves surprises. Anybody on the other side of that fence that you don't like surprises? Where are you at? A few of us, okay, faithful few, okay. I'm probably in that second group. I don't really love to be surprised. I'm the kind of guy that like I would plan my own surprise party, okay, like true story. I think I just worry too much about who's organizing the event, who's got their hands in it. It's tough luck for me, and it's tough luck for any of you that are like me, because the truth is that God loves to surprise us. He loves surprise parties. He loves us trusting his plan more than our plan. Like, how many know God invented gift wrapping paper? That's what pregnancy is, by the way. Dawn Cherie now is 30 weeks pregnant, and I am, come on now, let's give God praise. I'm like a little kid who's got presents under the tree. I'm touching it, I'm feeling it, I'm shaking it. Remember when you were a little kid, you used to try to look underneath the wrapping paper without your mom knowing you looked at it? That's what an ultrasound is right there, right? They've got this new technology where they do 3D like animation. We've done this twice now, and every time we go, the kid looks different. I'm like, babe, I thought he looked like me. Now he looks like you. We don't know what he looks like. We're trying to figure out what's in the surprise. I can see God up in heaven laughing at our technology, just going, hey, you can't ruin the surprise. It reminds me when I was a little kid, I was so funny because when I was a little kid, around Christmas time, I would make extensive Christmas wish lists. You know what I'm talking about? Like budgets and blueprints. And I was always so worried that my parents weren't going to get me what I know that I needed to get from them. I remember one year I found my mom's stash. She had been getting the gifts, and there was this closet in our garage that I discovered. And I got into it, and that year I asked for a brand new snowboarding outfit. I don't know if anyone's like as mischievous as me, but I actually broke into that room. I tried my entire outfit on. I just wanted to make sure it fit before she gave it to me. My parents found out that I broke into the gifts, and so they didn't give me the gift until 3 months after Christmas. That's called good parenting right there. That Christmas, it taught me a lesson, and the lesson is that my worry can wreck my miracle. You see, if being trustworthy, like we talked about last week, starts my miracle, let me tell some people today, worry is what will wreck your miracle. This is just the truth. If you want to know how to wreck the miracles in your life, just start to worry. Because some of us, what happens is this, is that God starts something in our life, but then we start to worry about it, and it renders us to a place that we're so restless, that we're so thinking about tomorrow, that we can't enjoy the blessings of today. So many of us in this place, man, if you started to count all of your blessings, you would be here till tomorrow. But because you live your life so worried, you're not able to enjoy one moment of it. See, this is why the enemy is after your mind. The Bible tells us that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy us. So hear me, if the devil can't kill you, he will simply steal from you. And so his plan of action for your life is to cause you to worry, because he knows if you worry, he's going to steal the joy that you have today, right now, in this moment. Listen to me. I'm telling you, this is true. The devil cannot take your blessings. He can't steal your blessings. He can just get you to worry that you won't get any more blessings. The devil hasn't created any of your opportunities. He can't take your opportunities, but what he can do is he can make you worry that this is your last opportunity. The devil wants you to worry today so he can wreck your miracle. This is why I believe in Luke chapter 12 that Jesus, he's teaching us, and ultimately he gives us a command here. He says, do not worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about the clothes on your back. Life is so much more. Jesus is actually commanding us, meaning that when we worry, we're disobeying Jesus. And the reason why Jesus is telling you and I not to worry is because Jesus understands a principle. And the principle is that worry won't change anything. You see, worry, this is what worry is. Worry is rehearsing the problem without a solution. So Jesus doesn't say, don't think. He doesn't tell you, stop thinking about it. He doesn't say, stop trying to solve stuff. The moment that you stop trying to solve, the moment that you're just rehearsing over and over and over again with no new plan, with no action, with no solution, you've stopped thinking and you've moved into worry.
What if this doesn't happen? What if I get sick? What if I don't pay the bills? What if I don't get promoted? What if she leaves? What if he stays? I mean, you go through it. We worry about everything. Have you ever noticed that worry writes the worst scripts? I call it worry world. You ever been to worry world? Worry world is a place where all of your negative imaginations, they come true. Worry world is a place that everything, every single time, all the time, goes absolutely wrong. We create scenarios that are destructive. We create scenes that are absolutely haunting to our lives. And we sit there and we rehearse and we go over and over and over. And it's worry world. And some of you today, you need to leave worry world because it's wrecking your miracle and it won't change anything. Come on, somebody. You ever been there before? You ever been laying in your bed at night and you start to enter into worry world? But by the way, can we just make a new deal? At night in your bed is never a good place to make a big decision. That's the worst place to get into a fight, by the way. Some of you are wondering why your marriage has problems. It's because every major conversation you do at night in the dark in your bed. It's the worst posture ever to have any type of opposition or offense. Laying down in the dark just makes everything kind of weird. You ever notice that? I don't know if you've ever been, you ever been in bed and you start to enter into worry world and you start imagining stuff and you start creating scenes. You ever been worried about a conflict? You ever thought about tomorrow when I see him or her, then I'm going to say this, then they're going to say that, and I'm like, dang. You've done that before. You ever rehearse like a conversation like, I wish next time. Oh, I hope they come back like that again, because next time there's going to be a big crowd of people and I'm going to drop some bombs and everyone's going to know. I guess I'm just the only one. Okay, thank you. It's called worry world, and worry is the dark room where your negatives are developed. And some of you, you're creating stuff and you're making stuff and it's scene after scene after scene. And even though it won't change anything, we're addicted to it. We love to worry. We think worry's changing stuff. It's not changing anything. It's changing your blood pressure. It's making your heart rate increase. But it's not changing anything. As many things as you care about or as many things there is to worry about. I'm worried about my friends. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my career. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about this nation. I'm worried about the president. I'm worried about politics. I'm worried about war. I'm worried about my pets. Worry, worry, worry. When things are going good, I'm worried when they're going to start going bad. When things are bad, I'm worried, will they ever go good again? You just worry. You're consumed with worry. And the question is, What are we going to do with this worry? Because here's what I've learned. I've learned that out of all the worries we have on this earth, the one that continues to rise to the top comes to this area of finances. Comes to this thing called money. I mean it's every year it's in the top 10 worries of the nation. Am I going to have enough money? Is there going to be enough money for the future? Am I going to pay my bills? Will there be enough for retirement? Worry, worry, worry. Finances is the number two reason why marriages end in divorce. Come on now. This is why Jesus taught about it. This is why he talked on the topic, because he knew that if the culture was ever going to ever change, we were going to have to get the right biblical perspective on our money. Listen, come on. If money's breaking up marriages, and if money is dividing friendships, and if money is killing families, don't you think money can crush some churches? We need to be a church that we get God's perspective on money. I'm not going to let my worry wreck my miracle. Come on. I'm going to let my worship build some faith that I might reap some miracles. Listen to me. We need at VU Church to have the right perspective on money, because money is not our God. It's a tool. And we need to understand that we bow to one name. It's not all about the Benjamins. It's all about Christ. It's not about a president on a bill. It's about a king on a cross. Come on, he's the one who starts the miracle. He's the one who sustains the miracle. He's the one who finishes the miracle. His name is Jesus. I'm gonna worship my way into my miracle. Any worshipers in the house today? Come on, anybody still believe in a God who holds the whole world in his hands? Come on, if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, don't you know he's got everything taken care of for you? I look towards the hills. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Indeed, this God who watches out for me will never slumber nor sleep. Some of us in this place, even today, as we talk about giving, as we talk about being good stewards, on the surface, we're like, I agree with that. On the surface, I believe my Bible on that. Yet what happens is the moment we want to step out in action, worry hits our life. Worry consumes us. Will I have enough if I release? Will I have enough if I let go? And I think it's so important that if we're going to understand that money is a tool to advance the kingdom of God, then we're going to actually have to look to God's word, and God's word gives us some answers. And so what do we do with worry practically? I love Jesus' teaching here because I think his teaching is so very practical. You see, if worry starts in the mind, it has to be solved in the mind. So notice what he says in Luke chapter 12 as we get into it. He talks about, do not worry. Life is more than this. Don't worry about your clothes. He's talking about possessions. He's talking about worldly things. And this is what he says. He says, consider. Now you got to stop with that word, because consider means to think deeply, to ponder, to reflect. So he's talking about your mind. He's saying, you got to think the right thought. He's saying, you got to focus. You have to fight to focus. Look at your neighbor and say, fight to focus. Listen, we have to fight to focus. Why? Because worry leads to wandering. But faith, it always leads to focusing. I gotta focus. I gotta focus. We live in a world today that's trying to distract us at every twist and turn. Your job, your family, your kids, the news, social media. By the way, social media, it makes a really good servant. It makes a terrible master. You got to get over that thing. Because that stuff, it's distracting us, and it leads us to wandering. And Jesus, he starts to teach you and I about worrying, and the place he begins with your worry is he says, you got to fight to focus. Your focus is going to produce faith. And when you get faith, your faith is going to override your worry. Is there anybody out there who knows what I'm talking about? The devil wants my mind. Can't create my opportunities, can't steal my blessing, can't take my miracle, but he can steal my time. He can cause me to worry. I have to fight to focus. Consider, think deeply, ponder. Quit wandering with your worry. Stop today and focus. I know today we all love like our iPhones, and our iPhones, like they can just do everything. And one of the coolest things about an iPhone today is that it can take pretty good photos. You ever notice like in 2017, everyone thinks they're a photographer now? It's like, just because you take a dope selfie doesn't mean that you should get paid for that, okay? Rich, come on. And so the thing with the iPhone is the iPhone has an autofocus on it. But if you ever get around like a really good camera, a really nice camera, what you'll find is that as you start taking photos, you yourself, you have to learn how to focus the lens. And the better you can focus the lens, the better the picture you can take. Here's what's crazy. The other day, I picked up one of these like nice cameras that one of our team had. And like, you know, it's like, these cameras are so much money. But I'm like, dude, I can't even like, everything I was looking through was blurry. Like, it was all blurry. And I looked at someone, I was like, yo, it's blurry. Isn't this like an expensive camera? They said, Rich, you gotta focus the lens. What's amazing is that as I look through the camera, everything appears to be blurry. But in reality, it's actually quite beautiful. But I can't see the beauty, I can only see its blurriness, and the reason why is because I haven't focused the lens.
See, this is what worry does. Worry makes you wander, and when you're worrying, that which is beautiful appears blurry in your life. And some of you are upset about the situations in your life, but the situations in your life are actually beautiful. You just haven't focused yet, and therefore you're still seeing it as blurry. But let me make it more practical. You have the right spouse. You just got to focus on them. Your kids are amazing. They just need a little bit of focus. You don't need a new job. You just got to focus on the one you got. You don't need to find a new church. Focus on the one God put you in. It's beautiful. But what your worry is making you wander. And it starts in your mind. And you got to solve it in your mind. And I got to stop and I got to consider. And I got to think deeply. And I got to see it correctly. What if you just focused a little bit? Some of that stuff that you're complaining about, it just needs a little bit of your focus. And you start to see the beauty in it. Jesus, he's teaching us, and he's actually showing us how to unravel our worry. And he starts by talking to our mind. Consider, think deeply. But notice where he goes now with this. This is where it gets really interesting. This is Jesus. He's awesome. This is what he says. He says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have any storage units. They don't build any barns. And still, they always have food to eat. How much more valuable are you than some birds? Isn't Jesus awesome? Like, he takes the most complex questions in history, and he gives the most simplistic answers with metaphors. Lord, what do I do about my worry? Consider the ravens. What? Like, only Jesus gets away with that, you know? Consider what? Like, I could understand, consider the eagles and soar like the, I like that, you know? Okay, geez, I'm gonna soar like eagles. Consider the hawks and attack your problems. Not Jesus, consider the ravens. What? Ravens? I don't know how much you know about ravens, but ravens are part of the crow family. And they're pretty common birds. In fact, there's a whole lot of ravens on the planet. I remember when I was growing up, my really only experience with crows, ravens, is growing up in Washington State. And we'd wake up in the morning. The thing about ravens is that they're scavengers. They are able to hunt, and they do hunt, but they're also just quite content picking up all of your waste and eating it for themselves. And so we'd wake up in the mornings in Washington State, and our trash in the front yard would be swarmed with ravens and crows. I must have been about the sixth grade, and I think that Christmas my dad had given me a BB gun. Don't leave the church yet. Let me just finish the illustration. And this is what Dad told me. This is true. Dad said, Rich, you can scare the ravens, scare the crows, but you just can't hit them. And don't you love my dad? Like, he was animal rights activist before that was even cool, you know? He's like, just you can scare them, just don't hit them. I was like the devil, and the crows were like Job in the book of Job. Remember, the devil comes to God, and God's like, yo, look, you can mess with him, but you can't kill him, you know? So in this illustration, I am playing the part of the devil. And so we'd wake up in the mornings when it was trash day, and we get our little BB guns out, and we just kind of ding that big old plastic trash can, and they would kind of fly off. Now, here's what's wild about the ravens, is they would continue to come back. Now, before you, like, freak out, and you're like, that's because they're stupid birds. What's interesting, I just find this out, is when you study ravens, they happen to be the smartest birds. They're some of the smartest birds in the bird kingdom. They are smart animals. In fact, there's all sorts of studies of them solving complex problems with scientists. And scientists have been amazed as they've studied the ravens. You say, Rich, why are you telling me this? I'm telling you this because could it be that the ravens kept coming back to the trash can
And although they knew the bullets were going to be shot at them, maybe they knew from past experience that the bullets never hit them. Could it be that the ravens weren't dumb? They just weren't worried? See, what if God is saying to you and I, hey, look, I'm not going to take away the trial. I'm not going to take away the tribulation. You want to come on this faith journey? Get used to bullets flying by you. But let me remind you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm the God who's faithful to my promise, and bullets may fly, but they will not hit you. God has got this. Consider the raven. What if they're not dumb? What if they're just not worried? And what if they know I can keep coming back because there's always been supply there and there's always going to be supply there? This is what God is saying to you. And he says, I don't want you just to consider anything. I want you to consider ravens for a minute. Just stop and think about ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have barns. They can't store any of this stuff. And I look after them. How much more will I look after you? Some of you are worried today, but you just need a deeper revelation than the raven. That God has always been faithful and he has always brought you through. And the thing is that God, as you read this text, he's not telling us not to sow. He's not telling us not to reap. He's not even telling us not to build barns. In fact, he's saying the opposite. He's saying ravens are birds. They can't do that stuff, and I bless them. You're a human being who has a soul, a purpose, and a meaning for this life. You can do all those things and more. Don't you think I'll take care of you? Quit worrying. Quit worrying. You see, as you consider the raven, you have to consider yourself. Because as I think about the raven, I quickly see how different I am than the raven. If God is good to the raven, surely he will be good to me. You see, you and I, there's three words there. You and I, we can sow. Everyone say sow. The raven can't sow. And you say, what does sowing mean? Sowing is talking about releasing seed out of your hand, planting something that it might multiply and grow. Sowing is all about work. It's all about effort. It's all about putting faith into action. It's about letting go and releasing. And some of you today, you're saying, I would sow, but I don't have enough to sow. But you don't understand the principle of sowing. Sowing is starting with what you have. I mean, some people are like, I can't tithe. Okay, then don't tithe. Try giving 2%. Try giving 3%. Take a step towards sowing. Put something in the ground. See, ravens, they can't do this. They can't multiply. They can't create more. All they can do is just go through their life. But you and I, we were created to work. And I know that's not like popular preaching, but you and we were created to work. Before the fall of man, go back to Genesis, God put us to work. Work is a good thing. It never became a burden until after the fall of man, where God talks about us, the sweat of our brow and the labor. Before that, it was a beautiful gift from God. Let me tell you, the most dangerous thing on the planet is a man who refuses to work. In fact, I don't have any time for it. I don't have any. If you have an able body, you ought to have a willing spirit. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I'm not saying you gotta work for some corporation. I'm not saying you gotta work 9 to 5. Shout out to all the stay-at-home moms. Shout out to all the stay-at-home dads. Hey, whoever you are, we have to work. We have to put something in the ground. We have to be people who understand, I gotta start with what I got. I gotta be a person who sows seed. I'm not a raven, I'm a human being. Start with what you have. Some of you are like, oh man. Work's the thing that's causing me worry. It's not. It's not. Working is healthy. I would rather work myself to death than worry myself to death. Worry is much more exhausting than work. In fact, when you stop working, that's when anxiety and fear and worry comes on your life. And God is trying to tell you and I, he's like, consider the raven. They don't even get the opportunity to work. They don't even get the opportunity. So you and I, we do. And as we work through our worry. You see, you understand the power of sowing. It's a biblical principle that you'll discover all throughout the scriptures.
It's the law that as you sow, you get what you sow. So if you plant apple seeds, you get apple trees, you know? You sow forgiveness, you get forgiveness, praise God. You want friends, you gotta be a friend, the scripture says. So if you don't like the harvest you're getting, you always have to check the seed you're sowing. As we give financially over towards God, we believe that He's the God who looks after us, and there is a blessing attached to our sowing. Here's the problem with worry, is that this works in reverse as well. Because if we can sow positive things, we can also sow negative things. And so some of us, we just sow worry, and all we ever do is reap fear. And we sow fear, and all we ever do is reap anxiety. And then you sow anxiety, and all you ever do is reap isolation. God's saying, quit sowing that. That's wrecking your miracle. That won't change anything. And more importantly than any of it, it's wasteful. He says that you can sow, but then watch this. He then says we can also reap. Everyone say reap. This is important. Ravens, that they can't reap. You and I, we can. This is what makes us humans, that we can put seed in the ground and then we can reap a harvest. A harvest is a gift from God. It's amazing that I can put this little thing into the ground and then out of the ground can spring up this beautiful harvest. So look at, if sowing is starting with what you have, reaping is resting in what you got. And some of us, we need to learn the art of reaping. You need to learn the art of resting in what you have. You might not have everything, but you got something. And as you rest in that thing, it's going to rejuvenate your spirit, and it's going to create margin for the future, and you're going to see worry leave your life. There's a harvest. And this is what's beautiful, that as I sow, whatever it is I'm sowing, I'm going to reap something in return. And that reaping, that whole thing is there to reduce my worry. My harvest is on purpose from God. I'm supposed to enjoy that thing. Some of you, you're going through life so hard, so quick, and you got the sowing thing down, but you haven't learned the reaping thing. And the reaping thing is just as important as the sowing thing. Come on, if God worked for 6 days and He needed a seventh day to rest, why on earth don't you think you need the same thing? You work so hard. Take your wife on a date. It's called reaping. Go on a vacation. It's biblical. What'd you learn at church? I'm supposed to get a vacation home. That's what the pastor told me. I remember one time in particular, this is probably maybe 4 years ago. Don't sure you could remember the date better, but I had just been on it felt like 6 months. It was probably a 3 month just in it, just this journey of just thing to thing to thing. I was preaching 4 or 5 days a week, and I had to turn a book in, and we were writing a TV show, and it was all these good things. It was all these positive, kingdom-minded things. But man, I'll just never forget it. I was taking a flight from Miami to LA with Don Cherie, and I literally come in from some international trip and changed my clothes, got a carry-on bag, and got onto the airplane with Don Cherie. And as we got onto the airplane, just all these, you always know you need a rest when the little things are messing with you. When little things are causing a big reaction out of you, you should step back and say, wait a minute, I need to reap a little bit here. And so I'm getting on the airplane. I'm used to airplanes, and I'm used to rude flight attendants. I'm used to bags being too big, but I got on this airplane. I remember the whole scene, like going to LA, and I remember I got on first, and I was all ready. My bag fit the thing, and I put it up in the deal, and the woman came by. She said, it's not going to fit. I said, it is going to fit, but the grace of God, and I made it fit, and I was awesome. And then I sat down. I was there. I was prompt. I was on time. I was doing all the right stuff, and I sat down, and then these people started coming on. This woman, she got on late, and she got on late. She couldn't get her bag to fit, and she didn't like the way my bag was positioned, and so she started to change my... I said, ma'am, that's my bag, and it's already in there. She said, well, I'm going to make the other bag fit. You got to move your bag. I was like, oh, but I was... You can't move my bag. Like, that's my... I was here for... It's a rule on the airplane. It's like ethics. Okay. And
Like, the words weren't coming to me, and so I was like, you got it. And so she moved my bag, and it wasn't going to, now the thing wouldn't close, and all of a sudden, we're getting ready to take off, and this flight attendant, she comes out of nowhere. She says, whose bag is this? I said, that's my bag. She goes, well, we're going to have to check it because it doesn't fit. I said, but you don't understand. It did fit, but then that woman over there, she came in here and moved my bag. I'm just trying to do the right thing. I don't know what happened. I'm just being honest with you today. I kind of got my words out, and then I put my head down, and I just started to cry on the airplane. She's like, you all right? I'm like, I don't know. It's tough out here. I remember that 4-hour flight. She was just on my back. You're all right. I'm like, yeah, I think so. But it was a moment that said, what's going on here? My life is not reaping. I'm sowing. You got to stop and you got to pause and you need to rest. Some of you are so worried today, but you just got to consider the raven. God has given you principles. You can sow and you can reap. Take a step back. Enjoy yourself. Ravens don't need vacation homes. Ravens don't need retirement plans. But you and I, we are people designed with a purpose, created with a purpose, that we would reap and we would enjoy the blessing of God. I got to close, and if you want to hear the whole thing, come at 8 p.m. tonight. People are like, it's messed up. The last thing he says, and it's important that we understand it. He was like, hey, ravens can't build barns or build storage units. Now, in a couple weeks, 2 weeks to be exact, I'm going to talk to you about this because there's a parable known as the rich young ruler who Jesus condemns for building big barns. But Jesus is not against barns or storage units. He's against the motivation and the intention as to why you build a barn or a storage unit. See, when your prosperity has a purpose, God loves it. And the raven can't build a barn, but you can. And the reason why we build a barn is because we don't just sow and we don't just reap, but we steward. And stewardship is all about margin. What does margin mean? It means the amount that's available after that which is necessary. So how much do you have available after that which is necessary? Because we build barns so that we can continue to sow. We build barns so that we can continue to reap. You see, if sowing is about giving what you got, and if reaping is about resting what you have, stewardship is about planning for where you want to go. As a church, we want to be good stewards. We're not trying to build big buildings. We're trying to be good stewards. And we want to see a miracle begin, and we want to see it sustained. And we don't want to live life in worry. And so the way that we don't live life in worry is by being good stewards and making sure there's always enough on hand. So my wife, we have this thing, and we used to debate about it. We've been together for 15 years, and now she just won the argument. It's just, there's no more debating. And that is, Don Shree does not fill up the car with gas ever. It's not even a debate anymore. Like, I fully receive it. I'm happy about it. This is what God does after 15 years of hanging out. Like, she hasn't filled up a car with gas in 5 years, okay? It's just, there was a lot of fights, a lot of counseling, but hey, she has won. Here I am to testify. This is a good plan. But many times I'll get into the car. I've learned it now, but that gas light's on E. How many know it's not very smart to drive a car with the gas light on E? And so we've talked, we've counseled, we've prayed together. And now what we do is when the car gets to quarter tank, Don Shree says, hey, Rich, let's fill the car up. And what's the point? The point is that we're not going to be toxic running around on fumes, but we're going to make sure there's enough in the tank that we can step into the future God has planned for us. Jesus is saying, I don't want you to waste any time. I don't want you to waste any moments. And worrying, it wrecks your miracles. Worrying, it won't change anything, but worrying is wasteful. And so he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 25, who of you by worrying can add? Look, he's concerned with what you're multiplying. He's concerned with what you're adding to your life. Who by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?
And I want to encourage our church. Let's be a church that we always put God first and we trust him with the rest. God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to trust you with the rest. God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to trust you with the rest. Put you first in my marriage. Trust you with the rest. Put you first with my kids. Trust with it. Put you first in my finances. Trust you with the rest. This is what he says. Luke chapter 12, verse 29. This is the end of the text. He says, why? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. So steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Be generous. Give to the poor. Get yourselves a bank that can't go bankrupt. A bank in heaven, far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers. A bank you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is, the place you will most want to be and end up being. Come on today. Consider the ravens. God is a God who's faithful. Come on. Can you give him a shout of praise in this place today?
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.